Today's learned by Nir Zechaim Ludum from Shinaria, Moshe and Anil Rivka, Ves Moshe's Rivas Chus for Shalem Achaim Moshe Shem Amalki, Yonisim and Tzara, Chus for all those in and around Eretz Yisrael. We're holding Simon Kufnun on Gimel. We are middle of Siv Zayin, and we're middle of the Mishnah Berurah. We are up to Siv Katan Chaf Hei. So again, just to recap very, very quickly, we discussed yesterday that there is a difference when it comes to selling a shul that was built for an area, excuse me, built a shul that was built in an area that is solely used by the people in that area. Then, as long as you have the people in the area are an agreement to sell it, there is the ability to sell it, and it's okay within the guidelines that the Mechaber gave us, which is what we're going to break down today. The Mishnah Berurah is going to explain each line that we went through. It was a little bit confusing yesterday. And versus a city that's built, a shul that's built in a city that there's a lot of people traveling through it, and then you cannot sell it because it's built al das harabim, das of every member of Klal Yisrael potentially will use it, and therefore you would need to have the approval of anybody in the world in order to be able to sell the shul. So that was the difference. You have a shul that's built in an area where it's used solely for those people, you can sell it. A shul that's built in an area where the rabbim use it, you can't sell it. So now the Mishnah Berurah is going to start breaking down the mechaber and the different things that he said, right? So the first thing the Mechaber said, that a city, a shul built in a village where it's only used for the people over there, it doesn't, it's able to be sold. If you're in a city that does not have many people traveling through it, that people that come from all over, Nikra Kfar. So Mishnah Berurah number is telling us that it's ultimately you got to look at the reality. It's not that it's in a village or it's in a big city. It doesn't make a difference. If it's a shul that is built only for the people that the expectation is that it's only going to be used by the people over there, it's that's for this purpose is considered a kfar. Even though occasionally there might be other people who pass through, it's only a temporary, sometimes people come by, mikru kfar, that's considered, falls into the category of kfar, a shul that could be sold. However, there is common that there's people that come from the general public to daven there from outside the city. Let's say it's a place that people are constantly coming there to, the business people are coming in there to, and they pop into daven over there. I feel Amir Kentani, if it's of a small city, you know, somebody once mentioned to me that they were in Amazon's headquarters. You go there, there's constantly from people, so many from people in the business, constantly people coming there. So you have a shul that might not be a very large Jewish neighborhood over there, for example, but there's constantly the Jewish sacharim coming over there. That becomes a craft, but it's negated to selling the shul. Oi, makom sheyesham chacham gadol. There's a big chacham over there. Shem eskapshet shem ram. It's richalay l'tayrusay. The people come there. My grandfather's kind of used to tell me that in Babiv, there was almost nobody living there all year round. But it came Yontav, there was 2,000 people there from all over. They were coming in order to be by the Rebbe. Have a crack. That's a crack. The Mestama died to Chalo Olam Banahu. Because when it was built, no, as we'll see, no matter where the money came from, the das of how it was built, you have to assume, was built for the Rebbe. Oid Kasva Paiskim, another thing. The Philip Beis HaKnesset Shebe Krach. Even if you have a shul that's in a city. If you do a shalayasa el lamata am, it was made specifically for a group of people to go. There were certain trades they would make the blacksmith shul, right? That's where the blacksmiths am. Who adin? We can find this is quite common even in bismanazeh. You have a group of people from a certain street. It's far away from the big shuls. Oh, see, basic nesses latzman. So, you know, let's say in Muncie, Tzvi, right? That they made the shul was a long walk. So somebody made in his, or in Montebello. So they made the walk is a long walk. So the olam on the block got together and they built in somebody's backyard, they built a shul. That shul was not made for the rabbin to come in. It's made for the people on the block. Even though Montebello is a very large city, but a shul built like that falls under the category of a shul built in a kfar, which you're allowed to sell. The Mistama Rakal Das Atman, but no, they built it for themselves. Now, In that case, he says, if the money came from the whole city, then you would treat it as a krach. Oh, zayin lam shus amchir v'lo daitin, you would need the city's approval in order to sell it. Okay. V'afilu banu. So the next thing he said, that it doesn't make a difference where the money came from. So if you're a shul in a small city or one of these other situations that we scribe, it doesn't make a difference where the money came from. Why not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the mistama acherim naslamash yasehem mashayirtu. If somebody donated money to a shul, that if I decide to donate money to a shul in a certain bungalow colony, then I have no shaykhus. I'm not in the bungalow colony. I decided I want them to have a nice shul. I donate money to it, right? When I donated the money, even if I don't say anything, what's the assumption? I didn't build a shul for myself. I didn't build a shul for the public. I paid for the shul, even though I'm not part of it, but I paid for the shul to service the people in that bungalow colony. There's nobody comes there. Even if I would come up and says, no, I'm not masking, you should sell it. But when I gave the money, I was giving up any control of it because I was clearly donating the money to that group of people to have a shul. Okay. The next thing the Mechaber said, okay, we have these situations that you're allowed to sell a shul. We said, however, the Einim Rishayim L'Rida Mikdushasin, you're not allowed to lower it from its level of Kedusha. So we discussed this already, whether or not if you sold it, we said you're not allowed to go down, right? But really what we said over there is you have to go up. So if I sold the Beis HaKnesses, I have to buy something more chashiv, more up in Kedusha, right? But we discussed over there, what happens if I want to do a parallel sale? We said that l'chatchila, you shouldn't sell to do a parallel. We said l'chatchila, you should be selling in order to upgrade in the Kedusha. And then the Mechaber said that if they sell the city, if they sell the shul, that all this was talking about, it was sold without the Parnaseim. What is Parnaseim? Shiva Tuveir, which the Mishabur is now going to explain. We mentioned this a number of times, and we didn't get into the details of it. But we mentioned that these are the representatives of the city. Those are the Shivei Tuveir. So now the Mishabur is going to explain it to us a little bit more. Shivei Tuveir, Kosav Arash Bechelik Aleph Simon Tofresh Yudzayim, Veviya Rajdam Simon Kuf Ayinhei. Shivei Tuveir, Ene Shiva Nosham of Chorim Bechachman. This doesn't necessarily mean that I'm taking the seven Gedolim, the seven Chacham of the city. Oy, Be'oish Bechavah, we're going to take the seven richest people in the city. These are the seven people that were elected by the Tzibur to run to be their representatives on the different aspects that are going on in the city. They have a power of attorney. They are their representatives. If you're telling me that these are people appointed by the city, so why do I need seven? Let's say somebody's appointed for something. So the city votes, we want so-and-so to run the process of selling the shul, right? They chose they're going to sell something, the shul, the bima, the kodesh. We point one person. The city picked this guy. So you're right, I don't need seven. If the city voted, the roiv of the city voted, we want so-and-so to be our representative in this sale. No problem. It's even one person. So what is the whole idea of the Shivei Tuveir? Says the Mishnah Berurah, it wasn't an appointment for a specific item. The city voted, the people in the city voted that these seven people will be our representatives to make general decisions on any topic that's going to come up. So then, if you have seven people in halacha, we treat it as they are representative. They are the voice for the whole city. So if they voted one person to be in charge of general all situations that come up, that guy can't say that in all situations he is the voice of the city. That you need the seven. So if you appointed for one job, a specific situation is going on, yes, the city can pick one person. But when it's a general appointment, that's when you need seven. If it's less than seven, you don't say that they're like representing the whole city. So many of the places we explain. So again, If I, the city has a right to go ahead and appoint a person for a specific job, you don't need seven. And that person now becomes the voice of the entire city. But if it's a general appointment, then either, and it's less than seven, then they need to go back to the city and say, confirm, you are electing us to the one or two or three or five or six people to make that decision. But if it's seven that was voted in as the representative of the city, they don't have to ask. They get to be the voice of the city. But if the Shivei Tuvei Ir voted on it to sell it and it was a public sale, the people knew about it, nobody objected, at that point, then you can even take the money and do it with any public requirement, anything that is needed. Right? The next thing the Mechaber told us, right, that the words of the Mechaber was, v'im kiblu aleim b'nei ir, if the people in the city accepted it, b'feirish b'mechazet, and specifically in this sale, whatever anybody will do, even an individual, whatever the individual did. So Mishabur explains, what is the Mechaber telling us? Right, Salima. But as we just explained in the last cotton, if the city voted for one individual and said, you are going to be our representative, it's the same as if the Shivei Tuvei did. Since we voted that this person will be the person who does the sale, and this person will decide what where the money goes, he has a right to do that. But if they only gave him permission to sell, he doesn't have a right to go ahead and decide where that money goes. The money remains with the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. Okay? The next part, the Ramah adds in a line over here. So you remember we said that you need the Shivei Tuvei Ir to make the decision. It has to be B'maimit Kol Ir, with the people there. So what does that mean? So the Ramah said that it's talking that, what does it mean Shivei Tuvei Ir? And B'moichrim B'firsum, they're selling it with public announcement. The people know that the sale is going on. The right, Salima, what does he mean to say? The Chol Shamoichrim Shivei Tuvei Ir B'Fayasya. If the seven Tuvei Ir are making the decision to sell it, and it's public knowledge, they know that sale is going on. Veloy Betzina, not hidden. Veloy Michu B'Neir, and nobody spoke up. Mikri B'Maimin, that's considered that the city was involved, and they okayed it, they didn't object. The Tevis, I laugh, because Ramos says, they didn't say yes or no. They don't have to say yes or no, right? They just have to not object. The Kosev Ramos, Shigra Delishin, who V'Eni Medugdik, it's just an expression. They didn't say yes or no. We don't need that. If you have the seven Tuvei Ir doing the sale, and the people didn't object, that's considered as if they agreed, and therefore you can do whatever you want with the money. He leaves out these words that they didn't say yes or no. Okay. The next thing, we'll do one more Mishabura over here. The next thing we started now, we flipped over to talk about the sale of a shul that's in a large city. So we said over here, we cannot sell it, right? Why? Because as the Mishabur explained to us in Akdama, we can't sell it because the entire world, the entire population of Klal Yisrael has an interest in the shul. And unless you have somehow or another, you're able to get the entire Klal Yisrael to see it, right? Which means probably make a good meme so everybody sees it. You can't go ahead and sell it. Now, here it's the exact opposite. By a kfar, we said, it doesn't make it, even if the money came from outside, it still was given, I'll das the people here. Here it's the reverse. Even though the money came from inside, doesn't make a difference, because since it's a public shul, that you know there's going to be public people coming into, doesn't make a difference if it gets the rule of the whole world has a say in it. Even if they gave their own money, since people come from all over, unless something was said to the contrary, you have to assume that when the people in the city gave the money, they gave the money as it's on the das of everybody. And therefore, they don't have a right to sell it. Somebody at the end of the world, who used to come in here, and therefore he is included in one of the people that the shul was built for, and he's not in agreement with the sale. Even if the Shivei Tuvei Ir would come here and say, because the Shivei Tuvei Ir represents the city. They don't represent this guy who lives across the world. The Indian like capable of being able to say, he's not Meshubit to these guys. They're not a representative of him. Even if they want to go sell the shul and buy a sefer Torah, they don't have the right to do it. Because maybe these people who we don't know where they are, and we don't have their voice, we don't have their representative, maybe they don't agreement. That is if nothing was said. Let's say we know for a fact. However, Mishnah Berurah will tell us in a second how we may know it for a fact. But we know for a fact that it was built only al das, the people in the city, kegoin, shehisnu beis binyanim, they made this as a condition, or at the time it was built, this place was not yet a city. It wasn't a large city. At the time the shul was built, it was a small village. And then subsequent to that, it became a big area that people used to come to. And afterwards, a lot of people started coming over there. The gamlo siul hamacherim, and the money didn't come from outside. Then dina kekvar. Then it remains with the dina kekvar because you're going back. What was the das when the shul was built? Kosev amagav Avram b'shem amabit. The filo beis haknesh shal krochem im ena mespalos yichaylum lamachray. Here's the exception. One exception to the rule. So if you have a shul that was built in a large city, so generally it would not be a right to sell it, again, because maybe there's somebody out there who is included in the people who it was built for, and maybe that person is not masking to sale. But if it's no longer being used, nobody is davening in it, then you are you're allowed to go ahead and sell it. Okay, we'll stop over here, and I'm hoping that tomorrow we can get, I'm not sure if we can. We'll try to get as far as the camera Shabur, so we don't carry over too much into Pesach. I know people have a hard time making it through the Seder. We do.